It's Vans on Patrol time. It's Vans on Patrol time.
This is Anna from the Pop Prison Power Podcast, and this is the Geek World All-Stars Podcast Network.
All right, man. It's episode 250. 250 episodes. And the title of the show is The Last Starfighter. And it's
Fans on Patrol time.
I'm the host of Fans on Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. With me is no one. It's a solo show, y'all. That's the cue, that damn music. You damn right. I'm all by myself, so I'm gonna do what I wanna do when I wanna do, and no one's gonna get in the way of what I wanna do. So I'm gonna do the nerd news, man, because that's what I do. I love doing the nerd news. We're gonna do Little Monsters. That's with Lupita Nyong'o, you know, she's with her fine ass. So she got a little monster movie, zombies, you know, that's the debut this week, the trailer. And so we're going to talk about that. Also, man, we're going to talk about a little New Gods, because I forgot all about this thing that it was coming out and it's going, and, you know, has an African-American director, Ava DuVernay. So she's doing New Gods, and there's a little news with that. And Zombieland Double Tap. That trailer came out, and we're going to talk about that because I forgot all about that. And also a tiny little, what, Robert Redford news, just a tiny little news. And since it's my show, man, I decided to go hard in Montegoisms, man, you know. So I can't play a game by myself, even though I play chess by myself sometimes because I try to get myself, you know, you want to, you know, beat thyself if you can win against thyself, you know, whatever. But so we're going to do a comic. And that comic is pretty cool this week. Of course, if I had to pick any topic I want to out of a comic book, what would it be? Let me guess. A Star Wars, maybe? So we have a brand new Star Wars comic, a Resistance comic that came out, a one-shotter. So I'm going to talk about that, review, discussion, that type of thing. And then we're going to the movies, man, or to the VCR, or to whatever it is. You have your old Last Starfighter tape. Dust it off, man, because we know we all like it, man. So we're going to be talking about that movie, 1984's The Last Starfighter. So, saying all that wonderful stuff, I think we are ready to get it on. So let's go. All right, man, we are back. And I just want to say shout out to our homie, DJ Poppy, man. You know, he's been doing his thing. He got a new record out this week. You know, he got a new record out this week. You got to check it out. Go to iTunes. You can get it at iTunes. And you'll be hearing it, you know, on the show. DJ Poppy, our boy from Columbus, Ohio, blowing up. Anyway, man. So back to Little Monsters, man. You know, so I saw this thing all week long, you know, Lupita Nyong'o. I'm like, oh, shoot, she got something now. But it looked, you know, I'm like, zombies, what the hell is she doing? You know, shit, she was just, you know, T'Challa's girl, man. So what's going on? So, you know, we take a look. And the irony of the whole thing with Zombieland coming out, this looks almost exactly the same as far as the same tone, the same, you know, it's a gruesome-ass, you know, picture with people eating guts, zombies eating guts and stuff like that. But then you throw in these little kids who are supposed to be innocent. And if any of these kids get jacked up, you know, that'll be a problem for everybody, because don't nobody want to see no kids. Well, at least I don't. Y'all know y'all boy. I don't want to see anybody get chewed up, no little kids, nothing like that. I'm through. But this doesn't seem like that type of movie, unless they make some kind of joke at the end and make all the kids little zombies eating everybody. But I doubt it. So, you know, a lighthearted comedy. And, you know, Lupita is running around, you know, with this British accent. And she's, like, you know, protecting these kids. And it looked like they went to some, like, farm fair. You know, you go to those places and you know, not a frontier place, but, you know, it's a little farm that kids are petting zoos. And if it's a zombie apocalypse, it looks like right at the beginning. So it's all kind of goofy stuff going on. And, you know, slapstick comedy kind of type of stuff. Shaun of the Dead, it reminds me of that. And Zombieland, stuff like that. So am I interested in this? Only because of Lupita, man. That's about it, dude. You know, other than that, I would probably care less about this, especially when Zombieland is coming out. And so the big question is, because Zombieland is coming out, do I really care? Only because Lupita. That's it. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't give a damn. But we're going to see. That was the first trailer that just came out this week. And it's due to come out in theaters November 15th. So that's a little weird, seeing that they're banking on the crowd after Halloween. You know, maybe they don't want it to be, you know, be thrown in there with the hardcore Halloween movies and stuff like that. So anyway, the official Red Band trailer in cinemas November 15th. So it was pretty graphic, but not that graphic. I've seen a lot worse, you know, Red Band trailers. But, you know, hey, we'll probably talk about it a little bit more. I'm sure Tifflebot would probably love this, and probably Smooth too. All you have to do is add the woman and I'm fine. I'm great. You know, I'm there, baby. So, like I was saying before, man, right now what's going on is, like, Tifflebot is in that big old mega podcast with all our new compadres, the Geek World All-Star Podcast Network. And so, that's what I'm going to try to say it. I'm going to get in trouble because I'm going to forget somebody. The Gorilla Brain, Pop Prison Power Podcast, Soul Wizard Podcast, Superhero Speak, Colt 45, and Nuss. So, I think it's five. Look, I probably forgot something and I just, like, well, just made an enemy for life, you know? Because I think that's it. And so they're doing their first mega cast, and I forgot what the main topic was. It started out as all the Spider-Man movies because of the Tom Holland movie coming out. And then I think it moved to, why did I get into podcasting? But I think the topic might be something else. But anyway, man, you got a bunch of great heavy hitters, you know, that's going to be on that thing. And just some of us know each other for a long time. Some of us are new. And so that's going to be interesting. So check that out when you get a chance. I'm not sure how it's going to run. I think we're all going to run it on all of our, you know, feeds. And so you could probably get that here, I imagine. I'm not sure. So anyway, so let's move on, man. What's next? Let's talk about a little New Gods, man. So if you're like me, you probably forgot all about that DC was going to do the New Gods, because DC made a whole bunch of announcements, you know. DC announced before all this shit started that The Rock was going to be Black Adam, and the world went crazy 5 years ago. And I'm going to be completely honest, at this point, the Black Adam, you know, craze heated back up after the Shazam movie, but they chose not to put any Black Adam, which I believe was a goddamn mistake, not having him at least in a suit and at the end for a post credit, you know, what is going on my earth, you know, something. You know, something to remind you that The Rock signed this contract to be in this movie, Dwayne Johnson. And they did nothing. And, you know, and now all of a sudden you got all this stuff over the internet with him, all these computer renderings with him with the pointy ears and stuff. And he's, you know, Black Adam. And remind us that it was years ago when he signed that contract. And, you know, we've been seeing internet computer mock-ups of him with the big, you know, lightning bolt on his chest. I could care less at this point. I know a lot of people still hype, but how the hell could you be hype after like 2, 3, 4, 5 years of this bullshit, man? You know, and then the universe is nothing. And I mean nothing like it used to be. You know, Henry Cavill is gone. Ben Affleck is gone. And he don't even look like Batman no more. And that Jay and Silent Bob, he did have a dad bob, a dad bod, like Tifflebot said. And it's just, you know, Aquaman is left. And, you know, they're retooling us. Wonder Woman, that's a different thing now. And so we got the New Gods coming out. And they danced around Darkseid the whole time, you know, with the Justice League and stuff. So we saw Steppenwolf, and as you know. So now they announce, hey, we're going to do Darkseid. He's going to be the villain. So let me slow all this negativity up by saying, boys and girls, this could be cool. And I'm going to tell you why. because you could establish a well robust plethora of villains in this one movie. You can set up the world, don't show no heroes except for people like Mr. Miracle, because I think he's supposed to be in it, and the Furies are supposed to be in it, and have a story off world building up this unlimited supply of villains for the DC universe. And that's how you do it. If you do what I'm telling you to do, and I'm telling you, listen to me, DC, listen to me, Ava, y'all listen to me and you'll go all the way. Do this, set up this world, let Darkseid be likable, but not like a Woody Harrelson villain likable that, you know, he's so cool. No, have him be such a badass that you're like, whoa, I don't really want to see him fail, because taking over the universe would be cool. You know, had the Furies be so dope and deadly, but sexy. You know, if you do that, then everybody's in, man. You know, you don't want to see anything happen to them. And they just, you know, and to see them lose would be like, oh, shit, she knocked her teeth out. You know, and then you have like that doctor with the hood. I forgot his name. You know, I know who I'm talking about. That does all experiments, Darkseid's son, all that shit. You can set all this stuff up. And then if you're building your universe surrounding the villains with all this, you know, villains coming, that could work, DC. You might not have to retool if you do it correctly. But you have to get my boy who I was talking about before as your new Superman, Nicholas Holt. And you can keep your vampire, you know, Batman, you know, just fine. But I want to see Nicholas Holt. I want to see Nicholas Holt as Superman. I'm saying it now. I ought to just start putting that shit on the internet, because I say it on the show and people don't repeat it and stuff. But if I type it, it'll do it. So anyway, man, so I would like to know if people are excited about that. I say stuff like that and then people inbox me, or what they do is they send me private messages. Yes, we're going to see it. Put it out there on the Twitter, man. Put it on that Twitter and all that stuff. Do that. That's what we want to see, so people can interact. So, man, I'm interested, and, you know, now that they're going to give it a full world, the new guys, because then not only do you have the bad guys, you know, you have the good guys who like Orion and all that stuff. Orion is cool, but the rest of those, you know, the good guys, who cares? You know, who cares about the All-Father and all that stuff? But I guess you got to have something going on in this movie. Darkseid should kill all of them, and that should be the villains should win the fight. That should be cool as what? If the villains in the end of Darkseid beat the gods, all of them, the All-Father, all of them, and then they focus on Earth, how cool would that be? Because nobody's going to come to your rescue. There's nothing hiding. And then you can even have a Green Lantern or two pop up. You know, that would be cool as what? You know, that would be cool. I just thought of that right now. That could be your introduction to the Green Lantern Corps if you're going to do it. You know, but these Warner Brothers has been kind of quiet with all this DC stuff, even though you made over $1 billion on, you know, Jason Momoa's movie. You got another one of those coming out. So, man, moving on. How am I doing, y'all? I'm rolling like I got somebody to talk to, don't I? Anyway, anyway, man, let's crack on with the news, mate. Oh, real quick, man. Let's talk a little Robert Redford. First of all, the last time I saw Robert Redford, he was in Captain America Winter Soldier. He played a great role. He looked old and he looked seasoned and he still had all his wits. And he played the villain who was the good guy who I don't think any of us really saw him becoming the bad guy like he did. But he became a bad guy. So the article I have here says, hey, it's from Newsarama. It said, Robert Redford comes out of retirement for Watchmen. I did not know Robert Redford was in retirement. You know, you got people like Sean Connery that was just like, I'm retired from all of this. I don't want to do a movie ever again. And so he left and made it known. I didn't ever hear Robert Redford make an announcement. I just figured that he had come out for the right offer. So it looks like he came out for the right offer. So the Watchmen TV series, you know, apparently he's going to have, you know, a role in there and, you know, somewhere. And so that's cool, man. And doing stuff like that, he's supposed to be the president, you know, a version of himself as the president. Now, hopefully that's not just some dumbass news that somebody put out there that caught steam. Because Newsarama, most of the time they're pretty reliable, but who knows? Anyway, but that would be cool. You know, Robert Redford as president, because what? the whole thing is a satire and an irony, you know, for what Reagan was president, blah, 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 dee, dee, dee. So that would be cool, I guess. But I don't know. If I was Robert Redford, I would hate to have, you know, toward the end of my career and life, you know, my most memorable role, if it happens, is being some douchebag president, you know. I don't know. So I don't know. We'll see how that works out. So quick news story. So that was it for that one, man. Let's move on, man. So the world was pretty excited a few days ago. I think July 25th, the Zombieland Double Tap trailer premiered. Now, it's amazing. Some movies they say, hey, we're going to make, and you don't see for 10 years. And some movies they say, hey, we're going to make, and like 6 months later, you got a trailer. And that was, to me, that was what happened with this Zombieland. I heard about it, and that was it. Now, taking this thing one step at a time. The first thing I like to say is that the actors look great. You know, awesome. Woody Harrelson, you know, pretty much looks like Woody when he did with just a little less hair when he was on Cheers. It's amazing. And the Lex Luthor wannabe, you know, everybody hates him, you know. He looks pretty much the same, but a little age to him. And, oh my God, Emma Stone looks phenomenal. I mean, she just... And I really wasn't a fan of hers, you know, for a long time. But damn, she looked good. She looked sexy. See, age, man. You know, if you a fine woman, that age will just put that fine wine on you, man. You know, that all that girly girl stuff is gone. Now you look like a nice age fine wine, man. And so then you also have the little girl, Abigail Breslin. She was a tiny little girl in the first movie, and now she's like an older teenager, or if not a 20-something. And then you have a bunch of other people in this movie, man. The fine, awesome Rosario Dawson is in this movie, and she was seen in the trailer. So, you know, Jesse Eisenberg, Bill Murray is in this thing again. Maybe it's a flashback. Maybe, I don't know what the hell that's about. Dan Aykroyd is in this movie. Luke Wilson is in this. It's a lot of folks, and that's the kind of movie this is, you know, showing, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. But I'm going to have to tell y'all, children, man, I watched this thing and it came on and I was full of glee. And I mean, I was full of glee watching this thing. I was like, I can't believe how awesome this thing looks. I was so happy, you know, just with the comedy and the humor of the whole thing. It blew me away because, you know, the first one I really, really enjoyed, man. I really enjoyed the first Zombieland. And but it wasn't like my favorite movie ever, but it was still cool. But then, you know, I see this trailer and I'm like, this couldn't have made me more happier. I just felt, you know, like I was coming home, and I'm not that big of a fan, but this thing made me feel comfortable with all this foolishness because it was so many cool moments in the trailer. You know, I love the scene where he's like, he's in that like, farm equipment. He's like, die, zombies, die. You know, it's like, you know, of course, if you got to be to the point that this life was mundane to you, oh my God, you know, it would be the little things that would just turn you on. I like him sitting in the White House. I like how clean everything looks. It looks great. And so Woody Harrelson is the boss, and the other characters appear to be doing the same thing they're doing. Now, one thing that got me is like toward the end with the characters that seem to be acting exactly like some of the other two characters, the Woody Harrelson character and the Jesse Eisenberg character, making me wonder, it's like, is this thing like going to be turned into some experiment where they had like clones or something like that? I don't know, man. I'm just saying, because why are they showing that in the trailer? Why is it a thing? You know, how is it possible for people to talk and walk and act the same way? And I love the new character they're adding into. It reminds me of that TV show where it was only one man on Earth, and they thought it was only one woman on Earth until another woman walked around the corner. That was pretty cool. So I'm all in, man, for Zombieland. We didn't do Zombieland the original on the show, but I couldn't imagine Tiflbot letting us, you know, let this movie get past us. And I love the stuff about the guy from Berkeley. He just wants to beat the shit out of him, so that's just cool as hell. So, you know, I would be interested to know people's thoughts on some of this stuff. You know, I'm doing the solo show, man. So I would love a little interaction to show my co-host that this could be done. So anyway, man, woo! It's time for social media. So for everything Fans on Patrol, please go to fansonpatrol.com. fansonpatrol.com. I'm really going to start pushing fansonpatrol.com a lot harder because, you know what? Everything about Fans of Patrol is on our website. Big Pan Can is about to turn in a new article, so we're going to get articles back on there. We have a ton of archive shows, our show art, and that's just stuff that we do when we put out the show. Some of it is cool. Some people like it. Some people are like, hey, that's some bullshit. But, you know, whatever. It's there. We also have communication. You know, you can contact us by fans@fansofpatrol.com by email, or you can just go to that website and leave a comment there. You want to listen to us, man? We're on Stitcher, Satchel, Google Play, Spotify, Podcoin, where you actually get reimbursed to listen to this podcast, man. You really got to check that out. And we're still not on the other medias yet, but we'll get there. Podbeam is our big daddy, our big hub, and so you can check us out on there. Social media, man. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram is where all our stuff. We still hold a Tumblr account, and the stuff automatically goes there. So if you're there, you can hear our shows on there too. So saying all that, man, it's time to take a breakaroo, and we're gonna be right back. I'm so used to having a posse. I'm gonna come right back with our comic, man. We're gonna do Star Wars. Be right back.
DJ Poppy.
All right, man, we are back. And before we get into Star Wars, man, I was just thinking of something, man. Because the Joker trailer popped up while I was, like, you know, trying to get my stuff together. I have to tell you, Star Wars is coming out. I'm a Star Wars whore. Everybody knows that. But I think I am looking forward to this Joker movie more than anything else this year. I want it so bad, man. It looks so good. And it just looks more interesting than anything, man. I mean, it's something fresh, but not. It's something that you expect a little bit, but not really. And I'm really interested in seeing this thing. And it makes me wonder, is Joaquin Phoenix going to be the Joker in the DC Universe, say, when they get around to doing the Pattinson movie? I'll be interested to know, man. You know, but I'm really interested. Now, don't get me wrong. I want Star Wars too. I think Star Wars got a little chill on the shoulder because of The Last Jedi, and then people destroyed Solo, which, you know, F those people, because I thought Solo was awesome. But, you know, Last Jedi, I could see the stuff that people complain about, I can see. And watching Last Jedi, I'm not that excited when I watch it. I'm really excited when I watch Solo and Rogue One, though. So they're going to put this movie out this year, and then who knows when the next time we're going to get a Star Wars movie, which will probably be good. Just don't go a billion years. Just to let people thirst for it a little bit more. But I'm really interested in the Joker movie, like nobody's business. So anyway, man, Star Wars, Marvel, Age of Resistance special. So I saw this, and I said, God damn it, I'm going to do a Star Wars movie because I love Star Wars, and I'm here by myself, and I can do what I want to do. I don't have to worry about debating or any of that bullcrap with my co-host. Anyway, don't get me wrong. My co-hosts are the greatest. You know, I pretty much just say shit and it happens, you know, and I have to actually egg them on to, like, get in their own, you know, stuff, which is crazy because, you know, they know me. You got to just get in when you fit in. So Age of Resistance, man, who's responsible? Tom, see, now this is a problem. They have all these stories, and I didn't realize this when I picked it. Tom Taylor, Widow Wilson, Chris, oh Jesus, Daddy need his glasses, y'all. Espalados, and VC's Travis Lanham. So there's four stories, man. And I didn't know that when I saw the cover. You know, I was just like, we're going to do that one. So I'll go over some of this really quick. So you can hear the disappointment in my voice already when I found out it was stories. I actually thought they were going to do a one shot with something dope. So Mass, who's one of my favorite newest characters, is with Han Solo and Chewbacca, and they went going on a mission to go pick something up. And so there's a lot of humor between the two, you know, Han Solo, and she's digging on Chewbacca like she always, and you can understand her likeness for Chewbacca more. It's not so ridiculous as it kind of was in the movie, like, you know, I mean, it was cute, but, you know. So anyway, they infiltrate this structure, they go in, and
you know, Mons is like, I'll be back. She gets in a, you know, sticky situation, and she's like, hey, I'm not going to do anything because here he comes. You know, Chewbacca smells something. And this idiot that they're infiltrating, he calls himself the Baron. He actually has on a Wookiee pelt, so you know what's happening. You know what's going to happen. So that, you know, it turns out being all hell is breaking loose, because if you saw Last Jedi and you saw that little quick scene when Mons was like some action star, you know, which was kind of cool. So they play on that in here, and it's kind of cool. So the next story is about, you know, the lady who murdered herself, you know, and every Star Wars fan went crazy talking about the movie had lost sound for all that time. It didn't. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I skipped it because the art, I thought, was shit. It looked so bad, man. I didn't want anything to do with it. So I'm losing interest in this book, y'all. The next one is Poe Dameron and BB-8, and they end up liberating some droids from being tortured, and they say the rebellion, and it was like, is this for a 13-year-old? You know, I mean, so that happens, and that's basically it. And I'm very disappointed, and I don't recognize what is wrong with me. I don't recommend this story to anybody because it wasn't much of anything but a money grab, and then they're gonna have more Age of Resistance. So this is what they're gonna do. They got on. They show the next one, and it's Phasma, and then Poe Dameron is on the cover. Not Kylo Ren, but the guy that played the Weasley brother, he's there, and then Rose. So they're gonna have these books and one shots, and they're full of these little stories. I think it sucks major ass, and I say avoid this at all costs. It was not good. And write a story, man. Write a story. You know, you got 30 years of Star Wars lore in there where nothing's happening, where a lot of stuff happened, but you chose to skip all the way to the ages of the actors who was in the first movie. So you can do a lot of stuff, but they didn't do it. I think The Mandalorian is supposed to take place like 5 years after the Battle of Endor. So that would be cool, especially if they don't be, you know, like punks and like skirt away from any, like, you know, with canon that is stickable. You know what I'm saying? I hate when they do that. Like, we're on the outer rim so far from anything. Even if we blow up half of the planets here, nobody would know, and it wouldn't affect the main story, the Star Wars story at all. So, anyway, man, that's going to do it for the comics, man. I know it was uneventful, and I had no intention of having an uneventful comic. I wanted something, you know, dope and, you know, Montego Bradley Star Wars worthy, but it didn't happen. So, anyway, man, I'm going to take a break. And we're going to be right back. Main topic time, man. The Last Starfighter. Damn it. You know, hello, fans. If you're not a fan, you might not be a fan because it's the graphics are kind of dated, you know. Anyway, so we'll be right back. It's time to get it on. DJ Poppy. We are back, and it's main topic time, man. And so, you know, man, I've been trying to do The Last Starfighter on this show for the longest, and every time I did, Smooth was smack his lips and shit, and I would be like, you ass, you know. So we would just let it go. And so I love The Last Starfighter, man. You know, it's part of my childhood, man. And I won't even say childhood. I was like a teeny bopper, I believe. 1984, nope, I was a child. 1984, Nick Castle, you know, The Last Starfighter, starring Lance Guestman, Robert Pearson, Kay Cooler, Don Mason, Dan O'Hara, Catherine Mary Stewart. Okay, I'm going to quit while I'm ahead because I can't see this shit, man. It's so, you know, it's just so tidy. Anyway, so, you know, I was a very young lad when this movie came out, and this was cool, man. I will say this, man. When this movie came out, this was like the first attempt of a science fiction movie actually going heavy with computer-generated graphics. So, you know, if you watch this stuff now, you know, you got like B, C, D video games that, you know, make this look terrible. But it at the time, it was like, it was weird, but it was still cool. You know what I'm saying? Let's get it on, man. So the movie starts out, man, trailer park, man, and it's the most quaintest trailer park you ever want to see, man. You have a rainbow of different people living in there, you know, black, white, you know, everything in the world. And it's so clean. And the people, it's, you know, it's in the Hollywood mountains, man. So it's very picturesque, man. And they have these trailer parks kind of hidden all over the place. But then, you know, they start zeroing in on the people. You know, they got shower caps on their head. You know, you got kids playing. It's poor, but it's very quaint. And the people have a great pride in their community. So the first look we get at Wayne's character, we get, you know, is we see Maggie, man. And Maggie is Alex's main squeeze. And she has all her shit together. She's going, you know, got a picnic basket. And she's going to, you know, do something. So they quickly introduce you to a lot of the characters real quick. You know, you got Granny, you got her, you got Otis, the African-American gentleman. You know, and you got Ma, who's Alex's mother. She's a waitress, real big in the 80s. She used to play on Hill Street Blues. And then you have Alex, man. And he's all excited because they're going to, you know, well, and then there's Lewis, the little brother who walks around with a space helmet on his head and stuff like that and just does a little annoying little brother stuff. So it's cool, man. Alex and Maggie is going to on a picnic and they meet up with their friends. Now, this is funny, man, because when they meet up with the friends don't really seem like friendly. You know, she's in the truck. The guy who drives the truck is a, you know, a douchebag. And he wants Maggie's dirty bath water. And then everybody else in the truck is laughing at Alex like he's just a piece of shit. And so I'm like, these are your friends? And even Alex is like, oh, you know, I'm going to leave you guys behind. I'm getting out of this one horse town. Then his mother called him and he, you know, I guess they're caretakers of the trailer park or he's just a handy crafty craftsman. And he has to go fix Elvira's electric, you know, who's out. So because he's a responsible youth, he says, hey, I got to do this. And so they don't hesitate to leave his punk ass. You know? I mean, they like, and Maggie, she's like, I'll get out. And he's like, no, go ahead. Because Alex is cool, man. You know, Alex is stupid, though. You don't send the booty with the booty eliminator, man. You know, the old boy with the cowboy hat is trying to eliminate them cheeks. So anyway, they disappear, they're gone. And, you know, at the end of the night, it's over, man. Alex is wore out. And Maggie comes home. And Alex is playing the last Starfighter. He's playing the Starfighter video game, you know. Alex seems like an unhappy person. He's an old soul. And his black mentor character, you know, we always got those. It's normally Morgan Freeman, who's trying to tell you how to get through life and, you know, follow Robin Hood or do anything else. Or you got Riggs and Murtaugh, who are always schooling the young white boy about how to calm down. Anyway, let me stop. I know I'm getting annoying. So Maggie's looking for Alex. Alex is up there with Otis, and he's playing the video game, man. But, you know, he sees Maggie get dropped off. He's pissed because he wants to play. And then old boy drove her home. And he had a lady when he picked her up. But he came back, and it was just her and him. Maggie's not interested in him at all. So one of my favorite scenes in the movie is Alex is playing this video game. And if you grew up in the 80s, man, the kids that used to hang around the video game arcade, you know, like I did, and it was always that cool kid, man. He's normally a douchebag, you know, with sunglasses and the sleeves all the way up, you know, with them black shirts and shit, and, you know, playing the game. And, you know, video games, man, if you hung out in the arcade, it was like you was a dope head. People used to look at you like you was a straight up loser. There was like TV shows that if you found out he's been in the video game arcade all day, they'd be like, oh. Like he was like sucking on a pipe somewhere or something. So anyway, man, Alex is like playing this game and, you know, he takes it to the limit. Old man, which wouldn't happen. All, you know, they're all into it. They're like, hey, Alex is going to bust the record. And, oh, Alex, all these old ladies come out of they house and shit. And they all coming up there. Hey, Alex is going to bust the record. I'm like, this is such bullshit. Even when I was a kid, this is such bullshit. So, you know, they go up there. Alex busted the record, but people did used to go crazy about people. We used to call it in Ohio as people, he turned the game over. You know, you would get to a million points in the game, we'd go back to zero. And so he beats the last Starfighter game, and it's like an accomplishment. Everybody's happy, and they go, man, it gives them hope. And I'm sitting there choked up over the video game playing because I'm like, yeah, they got hope. That was the world back then, y'all. Y'all don't understand. You the millennials, I love y'all, man, but y'all don't understand how simple shit was. All it took was a kid beating the hell out of a video game, and everybody cared. Not the old ladies. That's some bull crap, but everybody did care. So anyway, mom comes home, and he's like, hey, mom, beat the record and stuff. And she's like, Alex, I got your college admission, you know, and he don't want to go to City College. He wants to go away. She gives it to him. He didn't get in, so, you know. He's pissed off, man. He goes out, throws his paper at the thing, and the game is right there. It starts shaking and shit, man. Now, let me explain. Games didn't shake back in the day, so he has a good call to do that. He goes over and look, something wrong. Next thing you know, this futuristic car. Now, let me tell you something. When this car shows up, that was some heavy shit in 1984, because cars weren't aerodynamically shaped. They were going 85 miles per hour. They had governors on them, you know, because of the fuel wars and shit. My mom had a Chevy Citation. No car went over 85 miles per hour. And this thing was actually, you know, looked like a jet. It kind of looks like cars now, but back in the day, it was like, holy shit. Steps in. It is so crazy because Centauri's in there. Centauri's one of my favorite characters in this whole thing. And he's like treating him like a animal that he's trying to trap. He's like, come in. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Sit down. I'm like, whoa, child molester. You know, anyway. So anyway, he gets in. Next thing you know, they take off and they use the high speed lens to make it look like the car is going about 300 miles per hour, because it actually passes cops and it registers 300 miles per hour. The cops doesn't do anything. They couldn't do nothing if they wanted to. Anyway, car takes off, man. Pretty cool scene, you know, comical for the 80s. Woo! And, you know, they're off to Centauri, man. And that's some cool stuff, man. I mean, as a kid, man. But I did forget that it was somebody in the back seat. He touched his hand, and boom, and it shocked him. And, like, Alex didn't, like, trip on this at all. Now, this whole movie thing, man, it's so funny. This is around the same time that Tron was out and shit like that. Great movies that you just had to suspend disbelief. And not only suspend disbelief, because, you know, we've never seen anything like this before, so it wasn't about anything being realistic. So anyway, man, you know, the thing gets out the car, they take off for the stars, and then next thing you know, they land on Rylos, and it's pretty cool, because everything is familiar. Nobody is treating anything strange, you know, like there's a plethora of aliens everywhere, and they're all used to each other. And nobody treats Alex like he's different, and nobody's like looking at each other like, you know, oh, this shit is strange, except for Alex. So we're walking through this journey through Alex's eyes, and everything is weird and strange, and it's cool. And so Centauri is the epitome of con men. And the actor does such a good job. All he wants to do is get paid, you know, and he tells the guy, the whole thing was crazy. This thing was supposed to go to Vegas, but it went to a trailer park, and you beat the game, you know, which is not supposed to happen. It's kind of shitty. It doesn't look good. But back then, it was great, y'all. I'm telling y'all, it was great. So back on Earth, man, little brother's rifling through Alex's stuff. He's got a bunch of Playboy magazines. This kid is like 8 years old with a bunch of Playboys, looking at boobies and snatch and all kind of stuff. And back in the 80s, it was cool, y'all. Maggie comes over to see Alex, and Alex has been under the covers, because really it's not Alex, it's a beta unit. And then after the scene is over with, he takes his cover off and he has nothing. He's like a big blob with eyes. So it's cool. You know, they go back to Alex, he's in outer space, and he's kind of getting introduced to this world. There's this fight going on against, just like the video game said, you know, fight against Zur and Armada, and you know, they're the Star Force, and this is it, man. It's only a few of them, but they're gonna, you know, they're trying to beat, they're the Resistance. Sounds familiar. They show the Starfighter, which is a computer generated. Now, when they're on the ground, they really look good, man. It doesn't look fake. And so he still has this lady taking him to where, you know, following him around, and they're trying to take him to the Starfighter staging area, because the Starfighters are like the coolest of the coolest of the cool, man. The commander comes out, and he's, you know, being very commanderly and telling them about what they got to do. And this is for Alex, because everybody else should know, you know, victory or death. Alex wants to get the hell out of here, especially when the sun comes out. But before that, he meets his partner. So he meets Grig, man. And Grig is like the most human person in the whole thing, but he's an alien. I love his laugh. He's like, you know, very militaristic, but he's still like, you know, so humble and honorable. And, you know, he's like, hey, he stumbles onto him. He's like, I'm sorry, you know, let's get you going. And then he finds out that Alex doesn't want to be a starfighter. It's highly irregular. But then once they find out that Centauri is the guy that brought him, brought Alex to the table, they're like, oh, shit. Yeah, of course, this some bitch brought him to the table because this is what he does. He's a con man. But Greg is cool as hell, man. You know, he's super cool. You know, he's an old dog. He's an old space dog, and which is, you know, just cool as hell. They decide to take Alex back because Alex don't want nothing to do with this, especially when they introduce the commander's son. He comes on and they do this cheesy ass graphic with his head. Now this was high like caliber shit back in the day, y'all. Don't get it wrong. When the guy, like, big head is talking to his dad, he's like, I'm here, father. He's like, you're an old son of mine, you piece of shit. All that stuff was, like, so ominous. I remember as a little kid sitting in the theater, like, I don't even think I saw this as a kid. I think I wormed my way over to my cousin's house, who was rich, and, you know, they had cable. If you had cable, you were as rich in Cleveland, and I had no cable. And so we went there and saw it over there, like, in the summertime. And this guy, you know, threw a tantrum and talking about everybody was going to die. And as soon as the moon's eclipse, he was going to kill him. And the dad instilled nobody with confidence. He just seemed like a shuffling old man, you know, just, we're going to stop you. And the guy's like all intense and shit, you know, you're going to die. And so it was kind of like effed up. But then, you know, Alex was like, F this, man. I'm getting the hell out of here. So Centauri takes Alex back. Centauri's pissed because, you know, he cost them money. And they make sure they show you the frontier. Now, the frontier is supposed to be an energy shield that protects the starfighter, you know, all the good areas from this evil empire. And it's like these big old nodes. You can't get through it. But apparently this, like, traitor is, you know, gave them the code. He has the codes. And so he walks in. It's so kind of funny because all the aliens, they kind of look cool and shit, got these electronic voices except for the commander and his first officer. And then you got this guy walking around. He has his scepter and shit. He's so into, like, you know, having power, you know. And he keeps, like, flicking this, like, switchblade, you know, thing at people. Like, I remember back in the day it was, like, ominous, but now you watch it and you're like, what the fuck? Who cares? You shut it up his ass, you know, but no. But the two aliens is kind of cool. I don't know. The monocle is kind of stupid because every time the dude wants to say something, you know, cool, he'll look up and it hits the plastic of the face. And he's like, I will not go. But he got this dude to keep, like, pulling this switchblade, like, urn out of his own people. So their emperor gave him power to be emperor over the planet they're about to bomb. And so, you know, he gives the code and they bomb it, man. You know, Alex is gone and everybody, you know, they don't give a shit when these meteors are coming. These meteor guns, like Starship Troopers is coming because they have these, like, you know, artillery ballistic, you know, repelling guns and they're doing their job. But then the traitor, man, there's a traitor in the mix. And it's that piece of shit that was dealing with Centauri that was the little money grubber. He sold him out. He puts a bomb, man, plastique, and he blows up the council, and, you know, which decimates the base. And it's kind of effed up, man. So Alex gets dropped off at Earth. Centauri is pissed off at him, you know, like, you know, you little piece of shit, gone somewhere. I don't give a damn about you. So, you know, Alex decides to walk home. Centauri's pissed, man, but he gives him a little beacon, you know, hey, if shit gets wrong, give me a call. I'll come back and get you. He gets back there. It's a beta unit. He's all pissed. Beta made a riot of Alex's life, man. The girlfriend's pissed. Everybody's pissed at him. He's been messing up everything because he's a stranger in a strange land. But he's like, you know, hey, you need to get the hell out of here, man. You're supposed to be up there fighting. This is bullshit. So that's pretty cool. So then a wanderer comes, man. He comes walking in, and he goes by the video game. But the video game must have some powers because he was under disguise, everybody. He takes off his disguise and shit. So he stinks. And he's like, he looks like a hammerhead shark with, it's fucked up. That's all I got to say is, it's really messed up the way he looks. So Alex starts calling Centauri down because he's like, this beta unit got to get the hell out of here because he didn't pick up his beta unit. But now Alex realizes quickly that these bounty hunters, that creature, they're coming down to kill him because he's the last starfighter. So there's no way out of this shit. So Centauri comes back. He gets there in no time, shoots the guy's arm off, shoots the guy, but he still keeps running because it's another one, right? It's more than one. They're going to signal that the last starfighter is alive, you know? And so I say, you know. So anyway, he shoots Beta. Beta has a hole in him, but he's a Beta unit. And so they end up stopping him. They crash into the one that was trying to get the signal on him. And I think all he got out was the last starfighter is, and that was it. So Centauri is shot. They're in the car again. Alex is in the back seat, which I don't understand the back seat stuff. And Centauri is like, he can't get through, but he looks like, he, you know, he's about to die. He fades, crashes landing, but not really, y'all. And there's some people left, man. Greg is still alive, man. He sees the last starfighter and Alex and whatever, man. You know, they say their goodbyes and that's it for Centauri, man. So anyway, man. But then Alex, man, he puts on a starfighter uniform, man. Back in the day, this looks cool as shit, but now it looks goofy. I think it kind of looked goofy back in the day, too, though. So, you know, this is Luke Skywalker learning the ways of the Force. He's teaching him how to fly the thing, but he kind of already does from playing a video game. So moving forward 100%, there's a cat and mouse game of, you know, with testing Alex's skills. It finally happens, and he makes his first kill, but Alex is pissed off. He wants to go home again. Griggs takes him home because he was like, he put him in that position on purpose because he was hoping that, you know, he would gain his courage and get a pair of nuts and do his duties, but he didn't. And so Alex is all pissed off because he's like, it was a life in danger thing. And so they move forward, man. And when they do, Alex finally gets a pair of nuts and say, hey, why don't we hide, wait for him to pass, come back and shoot the main ship in the ass. And they do. They go out. It happens. He does the Death Blossom. The Death Blossom thing is something they showed at the beginning of the movie. It's cool as fuck. Back in the day, it was cool. It's a cheap shot now. But they kill everything. And then they shoot the ship, and it runs into a moon. That was kind of cheap because it's like they didn't even go in the atmosphere of the moon. They just died. Alex is the savior of the galaxy, man. You know, it's like everybody on Rylos is like, you're the man. Alex is like, this is cool as shit. I could stay here. But guess what? I don't have no cheeks I'm compatible with. So they go down and they go find Maggie. And he's like, Maggie, come on. It, you know, I'm making you my life mate. We going up to the, you know, what you call them, but you my cheeks for life. Maggie's like, what about Granny? Granny's like, gone, girl. So he's going to leave. Then she just says, she changes her mind at the last minute. She just goes. They playing the triumphant music, get some cool shit, and it's over. And that's the movie, man. Now, you know, I know I said a lot, man, you know. And I do this shit all every week. I go through the movie. But I love this movie, man. This movie is the shit, man. This movie keeps me, you know, it just makes me feel good. I love when Oda says, this thing really packs a wallop. Everybody move back. Like, how the hell did you know, Ellis? You know, the first time you've seen the goddamn thing, too. You know it all, ass. Anyway, it's just funny to me. But, you know, if you've never seen this movie before and you have no love for, like, nostalgia, then you won't like this. If you've seen this, you love it, because especially if you're of age. So, anyway, man, I love The Last Starfighter. I love Star Wars. I got a chance to do what I wanted to do. We had some nerd news. Solo show. It can be done, god dang it. And almost a whole damn hour. Anyway, so with that, man, I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. With me is DJ Poppy. Let me do this right. DJ Poppy. Because he's the only one that was here. No Tiffobot, no SMOOVE spells nothing. And no Big Pan Can. It was just me. And I got a chance to do what I wanted to do. And it's kind of cool as hell. And so next week, man, the plan for this week was supposed to be to review The Boys. So next week, we're going to review The Boys. Everybody in the group is telling me I'm going to hate it, but I'm going to soldier on, and we're going to see how that's going to go. So I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. With me is nobody. And until next week, we will be on patrol.